AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. The House plans to push the $1.9 trillion stimulus package forward by the end of the week, and it includes plenty of funding for projects that some are having difficulty tying back to the COVID pandemic. We'll cover some of those details and talk mental health with Come and Go and meet the Horizon Award winner.
Live from the front edge of the thaw via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Tanner Krause, the CEO of Come and Go. Then we welcome back Dr. John Boyd Jr. from the National Black Farmers Association. And we'll wrap up with Top Producer Summit Horizon Award winner, Matt Splitter. And right after the news, Chip, I'd like to talk about what I did yesterday. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Spectacular. Thank you so much, Davis. Yeah, beautiful day out there. Although in
don't
the
be
early
starting with
morning,
your all those. Come on.
Although in the early morning gray light that was out there, I could actually see it snowing.
Well, yes, there was a light dusting of
yes.
Joy pellets, I'm calling them now.
Is that what we're going with?
That's what we're going with.
My wife was not happy with the situation whatsoever.
All right.
I think she's done with it. I think she's over it.
Sure.
Winter. Winter. Yeah.
I was going to say.
What were you going to?
Well, I'm just glad you clarified that. I'm happy gotcha. For you too. You two crazy yeah. kids.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We are going to continue the conversation with Dr. John Boyd Jr., the founder and president of the National Black Farmers Association. We ran out of time when he was with us earlier this week. So mm-hmm. we are going to finish up that conversation with John. Looking forward to that. And Matt Splitter. I met Matt about a year ago, I believe, and okay. I was very impressed at the time, and I'm telling you, it's pretty cool to see that he is the top producer, Horizon Award winner. And
well, that's
and,
good.
Yeah, you guys are going to enjoy the conversation, with Matt. I know that for a fact. And we're going to talk mental health. Yeah, with Tanner Krause, the CEO, the new CEO of mm-hmm. Come and Go, and it's a story about how he is trying to normalize mental health and to make counseling, to make help available sure. up and down the organization at Come and Go. It's something like we've been talking about on AgriTalk, Davis. You know, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay mm-hmm. to seek some help.
Yes.
Well, that's what he's doing at Come and Go, and I thought, well, heck, let's get him on and talk about how he's doing it. Maybe we can
let's
learn
get
something.
Him. Let's yeah. get him. Yep.
All right. Very good. Let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell told the House Financial Services Committee Wednesday that the Fed is in no rush to raise interest rates or begin trimming its $120 billion in monthly bond purchases. He also does not see any indication inflation could race out of control. While prices might pick up in the coming months, Powell said those increases are expected to be temporary given supply chain constraints, Chip. I don't know what that means. No inflation, but prices are going to pick up.
Prices are picking up.
But there are supply chain constraints.
How does that bring prices back down?
Right.
I don't. I tell you
what. Constraints feels like a very measured word in there,
yes,
too.
Yes, go back and listen to Bubba at the start of yesterday afternoon show, the second hour of AgriTalk. Big Apple Joe Stackler got him all fired up even before he got on the air.
Oh, Joe, you got to be careful with Bubba. You got to be careful.
Just go back and listen to it. It's pretty good.
58 partners of the Crop Insurance Coalition have sent letters to lawmakers and the Biden administration opposing cuts to crop insurance during the upcoming fiscal year 2022 budget process. A letter from the group reads in part, quote, "Even in good years, farmers need access to a strong and secure federal crop insurance program, a program that farmers have described time and time again as a critical linchpin of the farm safety net." It goes on, "It is the certainty of the crop insurance program that provides critical reassurance to lenders."
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big part of it right there, is the ability to show that you've got a certain amount of risk already covered by the crop insurance program. That frees up some of the borrowing capacity out there.
Well, members of both political parties are aiming for a bipartisan infrastructure package, even as some Democrats discuss a scope that could lose Republican support. House Transportation and Infrastructure Chair Peter DeFazio said that Democrats are working on a transformative bill that will include policy changes, but he did not elaborate. Yesterday, DeFazio remarked, quote, "I don't think you're going to see a status quo bill out of either the House or the Senate." So, I mean, do we translate this to mean, well, there's going to be more climate stuff in there?
Yes.
Is that what they mean by it's not a status quo bill?
It's a transformative bill. Absolutely. It's going to be chock full of climate change issues.
It gives me the creeps. All right. Vice President Kamala Harris virtually swore in Tom Vilsack late Wednesday as the USDA secretary. Secretary Vilsack promptly went on social media, sending the following out via Twitter, Chip. Quote, 40 plus years as a public servant, and I'm finally sending my first tweet, exclamation point. Honored to serve our nation once again alongside USDA's dedicated public servants. Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Ag. Chip?
Tom Vilsack, 2.0. We talked about it this morning in a top producer summit free-for-all that you were a part of with me and Brian Grady and Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer. And, we talked a little bit about what to expect from Tom Vilsack and climate change and equity right at the top of the list there.
Yep. And let me hit this quickly. President Biden on Wednesday issued an executive order mandating a 100-day review of critical product supply chains in the U.S. focused on semiconductors, key minerals and materials, active pharmaceutical ingredients, and advanced batteries like the ones used in electric vehicles. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Linjiang said the measures would, quote, not help solve domestic problems and only harm global trade. While the order doesn't directly call out China or any specific country, White House officials have said an over-reliance on Beijing for critical goods was a key risk. Rare earth metals, I think, is what we're looking at here when we think about electric vehicles, Chip.
Yeah, very good, very good. So you just out playing hooky yesterday? Is that what you were doing?
I was not. I was actually they didn't call me this, but I was a celebrity judge for a... I was among the blue coats over at Hawkeye Community College here in Waterloo, Iowa. I was on the panel of judges for the broadcasting competition for FFA.
Very good.
And I got to tell you, brother,
4-H week.
I guess that's just how they do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how'd it go?
We better watch our back, bro. We need to step up our game. These kids are serious. They're not fooling around. Like, I had a little comment sheet and I'm supposed to write positives and negatives and stuff. I had a hard time filling in the negative comments. I don't know. Iron your shirt next time is about all I could come up with. They sound fantastic. Great job to all the participants and the clubs involved at the FFA there today or yesterday.
Well, you know, it's good to know that there is a group of young people that are still interested in improving their communication skills.
That's right.
You see them all the time in FFA. You see them all the time in 4-H, other youth groups. But this is very. Let's not be too concerned about. Let's encourage them to move forward.
100%.
We've got 100%. Tanner Krause, CEO of Come and Go, up next.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. And like I said at the top of the show, Davis, we've been having conversations about mental health, trying to make it okay to have these conversations and with other farmers, with others in business, with your family. Just make it easier to have the conversations about how sometimes we all struggle maintaining some of
the... Yeah.
Jump in.
Let me just pull in a personal example that just happened right now. I just texted you, John, and Joe a picture of my wall. I had my microphone boom stand mounted to the wall. I had it screwed into a stud and everything. And I grabbed it to extend it, to pull it to my face, and, you know, check, 1, 2, and all that. Yeah. And it pulled right out of the wall.
Yeah, make you crazy.
Now, there are small things that will happen in your day from time to time.
That's right.
I could have flipped out. But I think you'll all agree, I sounded cool as a computer. Cool as a computer. Cool as a cucumber. And handsome as ever.
Yeah, very good.
Cool as a computer. That's not bad, though. I don't know.
That looks like a face on your wall.
There for, yeah. It does look like a face.
All right. Okay, let's bring him in.
Too.
Tanner Krause, the new CEO of Come and Go. Tanner, it's a pleasure to talk with you. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Chip. I'm cool as a computer.
There you go. Excellent.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Outstanding. I think we've
coined a phrase.
Tanner, let's talk about Come and Go very quickly here, because I don't think a lot of people realize that it's a family business, but it is really a family business.
Absolutely, yeah. We were founded in 1959 by my grandpa and my great-grandpa. They went into business together. They opened one store in Hampton, Iowa, and we kind of grew small town to small town across Iowa for decades until we got some scale and entered into other states. And, you know, 61 years later, my dad just handed the reins to me as CEO, and we're still entirely family owned.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the effort that you've got underway at Come and Go to normalize mental health. We saw it in Des Moines Axios. John Harith pointed it out to me. I thought it was a really timely article or feature, and wanted to get you on to talk about it. Start with what triggered the effort, Tanner.
You know, it's the recognition that, you know, my personal experience was not unique to me. And certainly the events of 2020, a number of events, but highlighted by the pandemic, have put a lot of stress on people, all different kinds of stress, all different kinds of challenges. And, you know, I had my own struggles during the year, like so many other people. And it was beneficial for me to start talking about it and not trying to keep it all internal. And when I started doing that, it was really well received, and I got encouragement to do more of that. And so we've decided to just be more open as an organization, and to have the safety at Come and Go for people to just, again, be a little more open and honest with each other. So it's been well received, and it's done some really nice things for our company and our culture.
Now, when you say that it's been well received, are people still a little hesitant to raise their hand and say, yes, I want to be a part of that project, that effort?
Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, this is something that, you know, we don't try to pressure anybody in doing anything uncomfortable. You know, that's
right.
That would be antithetical to the mission. What we're really just trying to offer is a safe space for those that choose it. And if somebody wants to open up, then we want to set the expectation that that's welcome. And if somebody wants to open up outside of work or not choose work as that outlet, then that's totally fine too. So, yeah, we're not trying to pressure anybody to do anything uncomfortable.
Okay, what are some of the things that you have made available to the employees?
Yeah, so on the employee side, you know, we've done a lot, particularly for our store associates who are at the front lines of certainly the pandemic. So, you know, one thing that is important to understand about, you know, retail workers is, you know, by and large, there's not a ton of stability in their lives. They tend to just have a little more uncertainty. And so we did something going back to 2019, in which we turned over the makeup of our workforce And we were about 25% full-time, and we switched that to about 75% full-time. So we added 2,000 of our part-timers to become full-timers. And in that, we set their schedule for the year. So they would have the same five shifts that they would work every week for the rest of the year. And that provided tremendous amount of lifestyle stability. So they could plan their childcare, their parental care, their doctor's appointments, their relationships. And they would knew with certainty 3 months in advance, 6 months in advance, what their schedule would look like. And that also provided a lot of financial stability because that paycheck they got every Friday was going to be that same paycheck. And so that gave our associates the ability to for the first time, you know, be a little more, take a little more risk and do some basic things like get their own apartment or finally go to a bank and have proof of consistent income so they could get a car loan, so they could get their own transportation. And so there were some real kind of transcendent things that happened because of that stability. And so that was work that we put in place pre-pandemic. And I'm really proud of our organization's response to the pandemic itself, offering paid time off to quarantine, paying for COVID tests before they were as free as they are now, certainly offering a extra thank you pay for 3 months to all of our people in our stores, a number of other things that we were doing as a pandemic response. But, you know, what I've found is more so than some of those tangible investments and benefits that we've offered, the most important thing we can do for our people is culturally. And how do we just make it okay? You use that same phrase, but how do we just make it okay for people to be real with one another when they come to work and not feel like you have to, you know, put on your armor, but when you walk in the door?
Right. Right. Tanner, have you found any other CEOs that you can relate to, have conversations with about how they are dealing with the mental health of their employees?
Yeah. You know, there's some really good leaders that I'm connected to locally. You know, Dan Keough at Holmes Murphy comes to mind. Jeff Russell at Delta Dental comes to mind. Even my friend Pernell Cesar at Black and Bold Coffee comes to mind. You know, people that are in my network right now that I'm talking to, leading organizations, and you know, we're all trying to solve for some of the same problems.
Yeah, exactly. So, talk to the CEOs that out there that are listening right now. You know, the CEOs of their farms about some of the steps they might want to consider to make the mental health conversation okay in their operation.
Yeah, so great question. And I guess my first and maybe best piece of advice would be to just be a little more real with your people. And I'll give just a really kind of everyday example. You know, we're meeting people and it's, hey, how's it going? How you doing? Right? The first question you ask me on this call. And it's just so common for us to say, hey, I'm good, thanks, or yeah, doing fine, doing okay. And then we move on. And I would just encourage people to, you know, when the time's right, just be honest with that question and just say, hey, I'm a little tired. Or, you know, honestly, like I'm a little worried about this part of our business. Or, you know, I'm a little distracted because, you know, somebody in my life recently had a health event that has me a little down, you know, whatever it might be. But just those simple interactions, you know, if you just start to answer a little more fully, a little more honestly, a little more real, then that starts to create the environment that, you know what, it's okay that we don't always have to show up for work and say, yep, hey, boss, doing great. Yeah, whatever you need, boss. Hey, yep, I'm here for you. Because faking that or putting on that front can be exhausting, right? Especially if somebody's, you know, struggling beneath. So just and I really want to encourage the leaders, the CEOs, the heads of farms here. It starts with you. And, you know, you can say, hey, you can always come to me with what's going on. You can always come to me with what's going on. But really, you know, the best way to introduce that conversation is by the leader themselves just being honest and saying, hey, what, I'm a little worried about, you know, the yields this year or you know, whatever's happening in their business.
Yep, that's great stuff, Tanner. Wow. Hey, thank you so much for making time for us, Tanner. Thank you for what you're doing, and for sharing your experiences with us, man. We really appreciate it.
I applaud you for normalizing this conversation, and thanks for having me on. Take care.
Excellent. Thank you, Tanner. That is Tanner Krause. He is the CEO of Come and Go Convenience Stores. All right, when we come back, we've got Matt Splitter standing by, Horizon Award winner.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, these markets have softened up a bit here today, but most of the pressure is on the nearby contracts, right?
Yeah, and you know, I think we can tie this back to the weekly export sales numbers. Just, you know, disappointing to poor. New marketing year lows for corn and wheat on the weekly sales. Significant reduction in soybean weekly export sales, and now you're seeing money come out alongside of the markets here. So some long liquidation, profit taking, whatever the case may be. But you know, you look at May soybeans; they're working on a key reversal. So they poked out to new highs overnight, and then now working on a bearish reversal for the day. So that's something to watch into the close.
Absolutely, it's something to watch. Very good. What's going on down in the wheat trade?
Well, you know, much the same. I mentioned the poor weekly export sales, and wheat remains a follower market. And when you have days like this where corn and soybeans are under pressure or heavy pressure, you're going to get these types of days in the wheat market.
Any word from the cash cattle market?
We had that 114 trade early on in the week. We've seen bids kind of creep up a little bit. So just based on what the February contract is doing, you know, it's holding above 116. So indications are that that the traders anticipate that the cash bids will move higher as we close out the week here. We're facing some pressure in the back end of the market. Weekly beef export sales were poor as well. The hog market, it's come off its lows, trading mixed now, but pork sales were well down from what they have been the past 4 weeks, too.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Brian. We'll talk to you later. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on CAP.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on CAP.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. We are going to take a little time here and get to know Matt Splitter. Matt is the winner, the recipient of the 2021 Top Producer Horizon Award, and he joins us right now. Matt, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Nice to visit with you as well. Pleasure being on.
You bet. Yep. Hey, we met about a year ago, right?
Yeah, down in San Antonio, Commodity Classics. Had a nice visit around the round table with some pretty good producers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I remember being impressed by the comments that you contributed to the conversation. So no surprise to see that you're the Horizon Award winner, Matt. And if I remember right, what we talked about a year ago was how you are striving – for like maximum efficiency, get those costs down as much as you possibly can. Is that fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a couple years back when wheat prices, you know, being in central Kansas, one of our main commodities is wheat. And once wheat prices kind of fell out of bed back in 14 and 15, you know, we've made some pretty low price wheat sales that we knew were going to barely cover our cost, if cover them. And so we had to start looking at, well, how do we make a change? And that change was, you just got to know your costs, and you've got to know where you can create efficiencies, know where you can make those cuts. If you blindly make cuts and blindly try to create efficiencies, you're going to be bound to fail. So we just had to position our farm in a position to just maximize our labor and our equipment to its fullest capacity.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So have the markets that we've got right now, has that changed your attitude, or are you still out there looking to cut every cost that you can?
Well, you know, what I perceive as being a good businessman, I mean, you're always got to look at keeping your costs in check, mm-hmm. you know, trying to use what cash you can to buy inputs early, trying to maximize some of these fertilizer markets, trying to stay ahead of the game. Now, the recent bump up in prices, man, they sure feel good. But, you know, it is really good to see some volatility back in the market. Volatility will create some of our marketing opportunities. And so, you know, we were positioned with some of the lower prices on the 2020 crop, but it's really opened some good opportunities for us to market some 2021 and even looking into 2022 already.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd the wheat crop survive last week's cold temps, do you think?
It's just too early to tell. Yeah. We're 100% no-till. And so we do believe that the mulch that we leave on the ground did a good job of insulating. You know, I think wheat breeding, wheat genetics have improved enough that maybe the idea that wheat has 9 lives may have doubled themselves, that we may actually have 18 lives. And I think we might have used a little bit of those. But where we had some thin stands, I really think we'll see some damage.
Gotcha. Gotcha. No-till. Is that a... is that a production choice, or is that a cost-cutting choice that you made for your farm?
It's really a combination of both. When we needed to make some adjustments on our farm, we were trying to figure out, how do I trim some labor costs? How do I trim some outside labor costs as well, contract labor? And by doing no-till, we knew that you know, cutting some equipment costs as well, some tillage tools, that would help on that front. But the other side of that is, you know, in Kansas, where we're situated in Kansas, we're about 26 to 30 inches of rain, annual precipitation a year. And I just viewed no-till as being a moisture conservation tool for us. That was the very first, gotcha. The very first idea we had.
Gotcha. Interesting. Tell me about the influence that your dad had on how you not only take on farming, but take on life.
Yeah, both my parents, Melvin and Janet Splitter, they both had PhDs and worked overseas and Nepal. My dad is a corn breeder and just had a very huge understanding and value of higher education, and not necessarily your traditional 4-year education. That's what they did have, but just furthering yourself, making yourself learn. And so, growing up, you know, I was probably more annoyed by attending these winter meetings with him. But then once you get into the real life situation where you just have to find someplace to learn, you know, I didn't have my father to go back and ask some of these questions. You just had to learn. And it was really easy for me at that point to go, I do remember going to Kansas State's extension meetings. I do remember going to no-till on the plains with him. I do remember going to these conferences. And so it was really easy for me to find those resources and start having to piece together my knowledge base.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, you know, and I love the idea that it doesn't need to be that formal 4-year university campus education. It needs to be continuous, even when you're done with that traditional college education. You got to keep learning. I saw that in your profile, Matt, and I just thought that's so important. Tell me about Lee and Margaret.
Yeah, that's part of our story of learning. It was that 2015 year, end of 14, end of 15. Our local bank would hold annual meetings and would bring in some very reputable guys, you know, David Cole and Dr. Yeah. Cole and some other people like that. And I was at a meeting. And I, in the back of my mind, I had always looked at Lee Scheifler's operation and go, you know, he is covering a large amount of acres with very low labor and low equipment. And he is, in my opinion, you know, this is, you know, 30 miles away. I'm outside looking in, and said, I just need to ask him some questions. No intentions of ever working with him or partnering with him. It was just, I just got to ask somebody some questions. And, He answered me in the way that wasn't a competition answer. It was more as in, Matt, let me teach you. I would love to answer your questions, not tell you how to do it, but teach you how to do it. Yeah. And so he's kind of a pioneer of technology and a pioneer of no-till here in Kansas and actually in the country, and really have gained a world's worth of value and education from him and Margaret in both farming, business, and life.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And it did turn into a business relationship with them, right?
Yeah, they you know, we had these conversations once a week, every couple of weeks, where we'd invite them to dinner. We'd go to their place for dinner, a coffee in the afternoon or something like that. And about a year into this, and they asked us if we'd want to help help them transition into retirement phase of their career.
Yep.
And it was just an overwhelming decision. You know, of course, in your mind, you're like, heck yeah, let's go. But yep. Just coming out of those years where we were struggling to get by, you know, we took a couple weeks, a month, my wife Jana and I, to make that decision, because we knew that it would dramatically
right.
change our operation, but also change our personal life. And one statement that Margaret made one night is like, as much as you were asking us questions, we were asking you questions to see if you were a good fit for us. As much as we were a fit for them, and they were a fit for our operation.
That's outstanding, outstanding. What's your mission, Matt?
Well, I'm sitting in my office right now, and I've been to the first session of TPAP, which is the Executive mm-hmm. Program for Ag Producers with Texas A&M, and I did that in the January of 2020. And when I came home, I wrote some business goals on our whiteboard, and it's really not formal, but it's someplace that I look every day. And for us, our number one goal on our operation is to create profit margin for us and our landlords.
Yeah.
That's our number one goal. And our second goal, which is equally important, is achieve financial stability. You know, that can be different scenarios for every farm out there, but we have a measured way of achieving financial stability. And, you know, the last mission of ours, and probably one of the most important, is create a asset portfolio, whether it be in land ownership, or just the farming opportunity for the next generation. And Lee and Margaret have proved that it doesn't have to be your family. It can be another young farmer in the community that's striving to grow. It can be our daughters. We have two young daughters.
Yeah.
Maybe it's them. You know, we just don't know. And we're going to play that out over the next 20, 30 years and see where life takes us.
That's outstanding. I'm going to read to you a quote from somebody, and I want to get your take on it here. Here's the quote. Heritage is the assets that you can inherit. It's that idea that the ground we passed on, ownership will be passed on. That's heritage. Legacy, in my opinion, is what you did with it. That quote is from Matt Splitter. Explain that, the legacy side of it. You just started to touch on it there in your last answer.
Yeah, you know, agriculture has changed so much in the 10, 11 years that we've been involved in. And it's funny that we talk about this. I was standing in the middle of my farmyard this morning talking to a guy that had stopped by and visited. And we talked about the idea that what we're standing on is the original homestead of my ancestors. And that's the heritage. You know, we're standing on a very important piece. But man, you could really, in today's environment, you could lose it. You could lose it all.
Yeah.
And, or you could put your mind to it, figure it out and create a work ethic, create an attitude, demeanor, just the way that you approach your business and you approach your life. And that's contagious. You know, I would like to think that our employees come to work every day, happy to be part of this path that we've
Beautiful.
Chosen, and I believe that to be the legacy that our kids will see and hopefully carry on.
That's beautiful. Matt, I sure enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, it was a pleasure, Chip, and hopefully see you soon.
You bet. Look forward to it. That is Matt Splitter. He is the winner of the 2021 Top Producer Horizon Award.
It starts with a plan. That's why America's Conservation Ag Movement is inviting you to get your farm business ready for 2021 with a free resource stewardship planning guide. Get your free guide today at agweb.com/ACAM.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. Fun conversation with Matt there, wasn't it?
It was great. I love that he talked about learning and teaching, you know, and not just how he had found someone who could tell him how to do it, how could maybe even show him how to do it. No, this guy wanted to teach him how to do it. That's an important distinction, and one that not only people need to be willing to do, but people also need to be willing to be teachable too at the same time. It's a great demonstration of that from Matt.
Yep. One of the things that that I talk about with the group down at Iowa State, it's seniors that are in their final semester, and they take a class in effective communication. And one of the things that we talk about in effective communication is that you've got to be willing to learn, and you've got to be willing to teach if you're going to be an effective communicator. And that's what we're talking about, right? That's what what Matt was talking about in that's how you leave a legacy. You can leave the dirt behind to the kids or the next whoever it is that's going to be taking up the operation, because somebody will farm that ground. Somebody will. But will it be someone that he has helped bring into the operation? Will it, you know, the kids like Lee and Margaret are doing with Matt? I think that's just, it's a great example of how an established generation can reach out and help an incoming generation build a business that can become a lifestyle. And I think it's just fantastic, man. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and he made mention of you know, well, this was, I'm standing on the original homestead of my people. Now, not every farm family has that to say. And that's okay. That doesn't mean the rules are any different, or that somehow, you know, because I'm maybe a second generation farmer on this land, or even a first generation farmer on this land, the rules still apply. You know, that dirt is still highly, highly valuable, and the legacy is just as important.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm getting news right now from John Harith.
Wow. Yeah. It's coming in hot.
Farm Journal news director. He says House Ag Republicans plan to introduce their own COVID relief package today. And that is according to Bloomberg News.
What?
The package would include $2.1 billion for rural health clinics, hospitals, schools, and other facilities, and $1 billion for biofuels producers hurt by the pandemic, among other measures to support farmers, ranchers, and rural communities.
This is interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, Cindy Axne, Representative Axne, who is a Democrat on the House Ag Committee, is hopefully going to be part of the free-for-all tomorrow morning. That is what she is planning to do. Now, as a representative, you know the schedule changes. But hopefully she's going to be on with us. We'll be able to ask her about this and get her reaction. And the other thing that we want to get her reaction to is the fact that an amendment that was put forward by Republicans to extend WIP Plus program benefits to producers that experienced storm damage, basically, to their crops in 2020, in other words, derecho relief is what it would have provided. Now, she supported that Republican amendment and voted for it, and it passed and was included until it got stripped out before it went to the final bill. And they did that yesterday. Representative Austin Scott, when he was on with us a couple of weeks ago, predicted that that would happen because it was a Republican amendment. Even though it had the support, it had bipartisan support, but because it was a Republican amendment, it was going to be pulled out. It just It's frustrating, no doubt. Very frustrating. Dr. Boyd, the president of the National Black Farmers Association, had a family issue and was unable to join us. But we were going to talk about some of the other another provision that is in the current COVID stimulus package, and that is a provision that was put forward by Senator Warnock out of Georgia. Called the Emergency Relief for Farmers of Color Act. It's a $5 billion piece of the $1.9 trillion overall package. It's loan forgiveness plus 20% is the centerpiece of that legislation for farmers of color. It doesn't require proof of discrimination. It's just if you are in that group of there are six different groups that are included: Black, Indigenous, Hispanic, others that would get the loan relief for USDA loans. So it's interesting. Again, Congressman Scott was on the show a couple of weeks ago with us. He voiced some concerns that we were going to check in with Dr. Boyd about. Unfortunately, not going to be able to do that. Another question that I wanted to ask was, shouldn't legislation like this be debated separately and openly so that it can be a vehicle for change?
Right.
And to promote change going forward. So. Okay, hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Big thank you to Tanner. What a fun, open conversation we had with Tanner about mental health and how he is helping the employees of Come and Go with their mental health issues and overall health. And again, thanks to Matt Splitter for joining us. Come back this afternoon, Ben Cash, Bauer Trading.